chiddush that's accepted lahalacha, that is, if a woman has a hargasha and she doesn't find anything at all, we are choshesh that there was dam that was lost and she's asura. And the second one is that even if she finds something that might resemble dam in some way but is not actually dam, she's still choshesh. And that chiddush is rejected lahalacha. And simin kuf peches sif aleph, it says over there in the Shulchan Aruch, "Afilu hirgisha sheniftach mekora uvadka miyad umata maros halalu." She feels a hargasha, and she checks, and she feels something from these. She sees something of these maros, meaning things that are okay, like yarok or the like. Tahora, and the Rama adds there v'chein ikar. So that chiddush of the Truma suggestion is rejected. However, we have to talk about the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is meiko in the case of uvad kamiyad umatz amarus to halalu. She does an immediate bedika and finds these things. So the question is, how miyad does she have to do a bedika? In other words, the Truma Sadashin says, even if we reject the, again, the second chiddush of the Truma Sadashin, so the Truma Sadashin says she has a hagasha of psichas pi amakor, so she should check herself. And if she finds something good, then she's fine. If she finds nothing, she's a surah. So how quickly do you have to check yourself? And what if you don't check yourself for a long time? The Shulchan Aruch is meiko in a case where badka miyad. So what does miyad mean? So the Chavos Das over there, Simen Kuf Peches Sifkan Beis, writes, Hainu dafka toch shir vases, meaning to say, she checks super immediately. Toch shir veses. So the Chavos Das here is basically saying two chidushim. Number one, if we combine the Chavos Das, which we saw last week, that is. So number one is badka atzma toch shir veses, and there's nothing on it. She's still asura, right? That was the chiddush we saw last week. And second of all, we see badka atzma la'achar shir veses, and she finds something good. She finds dam yarok. She's still asura, right? That second chiddush is a humongous chiddush. That would mean a woman who has a hargasha, and she checks herself 5 minutes later, because she's not in a position to check herself, toch shir vesis. Even if we assume shir vesis here doesn't mean the most narrow shir vesis, but not literally miyad, so she's going to be a surah. Now, we understand where the Chavos Das got it from. Shulchan Aruch said miyad. However, lemaisa, the Achronim, among them the Sidrei Tara, the Chassam Sofer, Kresu Plesi, all reject this Chavos Das. And they say, no, even if she doesn't check herself mamish super immediately, if she checks herself a little bit later and finds something that's good, Dam Yarok, for example, she would be Tora. Well, the question is there a shear? How far does it go? So, the Bari Yeshulchan in Kuf Peches Sifkan Yudches says, L'chadchila, you should try to check as quickly as you can, but b'dieved, you could be mekel like Rov Achronim. Now, how far could you be mekel? So the most lenient position on this matter is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan holds you could be tola ad me'es leis, meaning to say, as long as she checks herself within 24 hours of having the hargasha, and she finds something good, she finds something white or green or blue or the like, then she would be muteres. Aruch HaShulchan over there, it's in Sif Zayin and Sif Ches, proves it from the fact, well, for now we're not going to get into the details, but he offers a proof. Good. So, continuing in our discussion of the Truma Sadeshin says if you have a hargasha, then you're a surah unless you find something good. So, what constitutes a hargasha for this din? So, the Chassam Sofer, and the Tshuva, it's quoted in the Pisrei Tshuva as well. This is a very important Tshuva, Chassam Sofer. It relates to a number of the topics on Simen Kuf Tzadi, so it's very worth seeing. But, relevant to this particular point, he writes that even if you were to accept the hargasha of Zivas Davar Lach, remember, the Chassam Sofer himself says, I don't accept that hargasha. But even if you were to accept the Nota B'Yuda is correct, he doesn't think that the Nota B'Yuda would make any sense in this context. Why? Because women always experience Zivas Davar Lach all the time. And therefore, there's no reason why she should be Asura Minastam. Now, let's add a little. what the Chasam Sofer understands, the Tumas HaDeshen is saying, is the following, that the experience of Hargasha, since most Hargashos are associated with Dam Tmeya, and we talked about last week how that might be the assumption of the Tumas HaDeshen, so since most of the time this is associated with Iser, so she loses her Cheskas Tahara, and she's Asura Misafik. Again, we talked about how last time the Tumas HaDeshen might say Bitar Svada, he sees it more Bitar Safik. It's very hard to say Tar Svada if you don't actually see any Dam, and there's another possibility. But at the very least, she loses her Cheskas Tahara, and she's going to be Asura Misafik. That's the notion of the Tumas HaDeshen. Well, that's only going to make sense if it's something that's generally problematic. But if it's something that happens all the time that isn't problematic, like Zivas Davarlach, that sensation of Zivas Davarlach, something she frequently experiences, well, she won't lose her Cheskas Tahara, and therefore there's no reason why, if she has a Zivas Davarlach, and then she looks and she doesn't find anything at all, she would be Asura. The Tumas HaDeshen would certainly agree in that case. Again, the whole Shiloh doesn't even start for him, but even Lefi HaMachmirim, that's the Halacha. Now Rav Moshe is Machmir on the Shiloh. This is in Yerodeh Chelek Dalet Siman Yud Zayin. And the question is why? The Chasam Sofer makes a lot of sense. So if Moshe answers, Hine Lanias Daiti, Le'inyan Lomatza Klum, Al B'dikasa, Yish Lachmir Darei, Kevin Shir Gisha Zivas Dover Lach, Hare Vadai, Haya Eza Lach Luches, V'haya Lali Matzei Al B'dika, Ach Bech Reach, Shenafal Mimena Kodem Shebadka, Kevin Shir Shasa Melivdok. In other words, there is a reis over here. Why? If there's a zivas davar lach, then presumably there was some type of lachos. Well, if there's some type of lachos, where'd it go? It was lost. And that is enough of a reisa to make her asura. Again, presumably, at least misafik. Now, that's a fair point. Let me read. He writes, I'm looking back to Chasam Sofer. Miu kol zeh bergas v'zamei chor v'kedoma delo shchichi hani hargashos ala yedei shum mara tia tahora o temeh v'avda cheskasa chetivdok. Ala gash divas davar lach afilu yivna leh ilagona v'yuda shu hargash edo raisa kol makom hainu shim rasa dam leidei hargash kazuch hayavan ala karban jarei. He doesn't say anywhere that you would have to do a bedika, as far as I can tell. Right, but exactly. But what the Chasam Sofer does say is that, at least with Nashi Didan, Rov Yemehen Margishim Zivas Davar Lach, Ve'ena Davar, Ve'enenu Davar Chidush Etzla. So, he doesn't say, as far as, I don't know, but not clear why you would why once that's true, once Rov Yemein Margisha Zivas Davar Lach, if that would be enough to be Mechayev Abdika. On the one hand, now again, is it Mechayev? When we say Abdika, by the way, we don't necessarily mean a Abdika in the classical sense with an aid. We mean like trying to figure out what this thing was. So it's an interesting question. On the one hand, the Chasam Sofer says this happens all the time without there being a problem, so maybe there'd be no reason to do a bedika, or maybe you'd say no, you know, Efshe Levar Tzarch Levar, she had something that's sometimes associated with Nida, so that should at least be enough to check if you can. The Chasam Sofer doesn't say. Now, Yesh Ladun, according to Rav Moshe, I don't know what he would say, let's say, according to Rav Moshe, she doesn't check for a while. So, then we wouldn't expect it to be wet, right? Maybe that wetness dried up by now. Assuming that it could dry up and not be noticeable. Then you don't have that reisa. Now, the reisa, according to Rav Moshe, is that something was lost, and therefore you have to be machmir. So what if there's no indication something was lost because, as I said, you didn't have a chance to check. Would Rav Moshe agree in that case? I don't know, maybe. The other interesting thing, again, with Rav Moshe is that if it's really true that most of the time she experiences this sensation, it's not Dam Nida, as Chassam Sofer asserts, so then why would she actually be Asura? In other words, is there a Metzias Machlokas here as well? It seems that way. Because if, like the Chassam Sofer said, most of the time she experiences these types of hargashos, they're okay, why would you have to be Machmer Misafek? It's true, something was lost. But that Reyesa would be Motzia Mechez Kastara is a very, very big chiddush. We'll see a little more on that topic in the next tshuva of Moshe, which is the following. Some poskim suggest that women who frequently have zivos davar lach should do bedikos, and for example, the Chachma Sadim says if you do a bedika three different times, then she could be tahora, because at that point she was machzekes herself that these hargashos are not associated with Dam Nida. And this is actually a very common suggestion. When my wife was a Kala, her Kala teacher told her to do this, and the like. We'll talk about what the poskim around here say to do, but outside of the YU world, this is a very common suggestion. And Rav Moshe says that doesn't help. Why not? So this is in the next tshuva, in that same tshuva. He writes, it won't help. Why? V'lo shayach l'hachshav zu yediyah brura. Alek shia zeh bizmanim shonim. Haynu kigon b'yom uvalayla. B'sha'as avodasa v'sha'as menuchasa. V'kedome. In b'chol zman u'v'chol ofen badka. V'ayimaris toros. Yesh lismoch im badka gimel pa'amim. And then he says, even that is mahani rak limei tahara mamish shala uliyom havesis lo mahani b'shum ofen, and also miyo gimel pamim b'yimei sfira shal harbe pamim shabadka v'ayim aras toros tucha l'smochaz. In other words, let's say she does three bedikos, right? But she does, when does she do her bedikos? She feels zivos davar lach, she's at home, right? So, okay, that means that when she has zivos davar lach at home, that they're not associated with dam. But what about at work? And if you do it b'yamei tahara, it's certainly not going to work for during Shiva Nikiyam. So it's very interesting, right? Why? So the idea makes a lot of sense. In other words, a chazaka only works to be machzik similar situations. You can't be machzik from one scenario to another scenario. So therefore, he says that these bedikos would only help. Now, he agrees that if you do it in a lot of situations, it would work. How, you know, where you draw the line exactly, you have to figure out. But the point is, you can't just say, okay, I did three bedikos, and now I'm pater for the rest of my life. They only work for similar situations. Now, going back to that point, so we asked before, according to Rav Moshe, right, what was the Chassam Sofer's taina? That most of the time this zivas davar lach is not associated with nida. We said, did Rav Moshe disagree with that metzias? I'm not sure. It sounds like he could agree to that metzias, but he just doesn't think it's a good rove, because it would be a rove in, let's say, rove of the zivas davar lachs during Yemei Tahara aren't associated with Dam Nida, but she also has to be machzekes herself during Shiva Nikiyam and the like. And it's only if you're machzekes yourself under all situations that you could say that. And without that, then the experience of zivas davar lach creates enough of a reyesa to require substantiation. And in the event that you can't substantiate that it was okay because you find nothing, then according to Rav Moshe, she would be asura. Many other poskim, though, are makel, contemporary poskim against Rav Moshe, that by zivas davar lach, at the very least, she would not become asura if she finds nothing. Rav Eliashiv, for example, who's quoted by the Mishmer Stara, writes that if she has a zivas davar lach, she should check herself, but bad kavala matza klum, then you could be mako. Why? So he says, well, first of all, Rav Poskim hold like v'chsam sofer, that the Tumas Hadeshin anyway doesn't make sense for Zivas Davar Lach. And moreover, many Poskim, not most Poskim, say that there's no such thing as Hargasha Zivas Davar Lach. And moreover, many Poskim disagree with the Tumas Hadeshin. And moreover, maybe this is a Zivas Davar Lach that isn't a Zivas Davar Lach B'Omek. It's later on. And that type of Hargasha doesn't count for anything. And anyway, she might have imagined the whole thing. Like the Zivas Davar Lach is a type of sensation that it's very easy to mistake. And in light of those five factors, he says that if she doesn't find anything, she will be muteres. Now, what? Yes?
I don't understand what we're saying about if Zivas Davar Lach is a Hargasha, but it's more associated, it's less associated with Dan. If it's, I still see it, the linchpin of the discussion is it a Hargasha?
No, not at all. It's a Hargasha, meaning to say if she sees Dan and she has a Zivas Davar Lach, then we say this is Riyas Dan Bivsara. She's a Surma Deraisa. It's not a Kesem, she's a Surma Deraisa. But here she didn't find any Dan. So, are you going to make her asura? So the answer is that when you find nothing after having a hargasha, as long as the hargasha is sometimes associated with nida, and more of the time associated with non-nida, so then you can't make her asura because al pirov she's muteres. If she had the hargasha and she discovers dam, then yeah, absolutely, she was margish dam devsara.
This is a question of if we're dying in the lashon of the Shema Sedeshin of Pimakar. That's the.
It's not, no, I mean, that's true also, but that's not the critical point. The critical point is that the basis of the Tumas Hadeshin is the following assumption, that most of the time, when she has a Hargasha, this Hargasha is associated with Dam Nida, and not something else. And therefore, when you discover nothing, you have to be Machmir. Now, if it is the case that most of the time, a Zivas Davar Lach is not associated with Dam Nida.
That would only be if it's not a Hargasha.
No, absolutely. 25% of the time she has a Zivas Davar Lach, it's Dam Nida. 75% of the time, it's something else. But if she has a Zivas Davar Lach and she sees Dam, she's a Nida Midarasha. She was as Targish Dam Bivsara. The Hargasha is equivocal. The same thing is true with Nizdaze Evareha, right? Have you ever had Nizdaze Evarecha? Yeah, it happens all the time, right? I don't know, you have a cold, or you're tired, or you're urinating, or the like, and you shudder a little bit, right? So, you're not a Nida. So, same thing happens with women, right? Doesn't mean, let's assume Nizdaze Vareha is a valid Hargasha. Absolutely. That's true. That doesn't mean that the only time you experience that type of shudder is when you become a Nida. You might experience it other times. Likewise, she might have Zivas Davar Lach when she's going to the bathroom. And she might have Zivas Davar Lach when she's expelling mucus. And she might have Zivas Davar Lach all over the time. Right? And sometimes she has it when she becomes a Nida. So if you have the Zivas Davar Lach and you see Dam, then you're Nida Midaraisa. Achitagish Dam Bivsara. So that doesn't follow that if she has Zivas Davar Lach and then she doesn't find anything. And yeah, there is the possibility that something was lost, and it might have been Dam Nida. But most of the time, since Zivas Davar Lach isn't associated with Dam Nida, there's no reason why she would become a Nida Midraisa. Okay. Right? So, the same thing, the same discussion that we had in terms of whether Zivas Davar Lach is a valid Hargasha with respect to the Chiddush of the Tumas Hadeshin, and if you find nothing, she's Muteres, the same thing would be true for, the same question has to be asked for Nizdaz Evarav. So, the Chachmas Adam, which is quoted by the Pesach Tshuva, says that in the case where Nizdaze Evareha and Badka Velo Matzaklum, she's Tahora, even according to the Tumas Hadeshin. Why? Like we just said. Because the same thing. You have all sorts of times where a person might have Nizdaze Evareha and it's not associated with Dam Nida. And it sounds like he's saying even if we're Machmir for Zivas Davar Lach for the Tumas Hadeshin, we're not going to be Machmir for Nizdaze Evareha. However, if you look at the Chassam Sofer that we just quoted, interestingly enough, he assumed that Nizdaze Evareha would we would apply the chiddush of the Trumas Hadash and not Zivas Davarlach. There's no explanation given for this debate. It seems to be a machlokas in Metzias in terms of the association between these Hargashos and Damnida, in which case it would be answered on an individual basis. Now, an interesting question discussed by the Achronim is whether the Trumas Hadashin applies if a woman is wearing underwear. Why would you say that? Answer is very simple. What's the whole basis of the Trumas Hadashin? That there must have been something, right? Niftach pi makora, so something left. Okay? True, we don't know. Could have been dam, could have been dam yarok, something left. But now we haven't discovered anything. So not finding anything is a reyes, and therefore you have to be machmir. Right? If you find dam tahor, she'd be okay. So the whole presumption, the whole chiddush of the Trumas Hadashin is based off the possibility that something was lost. So let's say nothing could have been lost, right? What does that mean? For example, she's wearing tight-fitting underwear. We'll even say white underwear, right, during the Shiva Nikim. So she has a hargasha. She's wearing tight-fitting underwear. So there's no way that any dam was lost. So maybe, in that case, the Trumas Hadashin would agree she's muteres, even though she had the hargasha of psichas pia makor. This is similar to the achronim we saw last time, who said if you did an immediate bedika toch shir veses, the Trumas Hadashin would agree she's muteres. Here, you could even argue that the chavos das would be mekel, because maybe the chavos das only objected because you can't have that immediate bedika, right? It'll take a half a second, whatever it is. But the underwear were already here. You have a it just like we pointed out last time. If you hold vestos derais and you do a bedika b'shas veses, she's muteres. So here too, during the moment of her hargasha, there was already this this bedika in place, right? Nothing could have been lost, and therefore she'd be muteres. So this is in fact the opinion of the Tiferes Tzvi. He says that for these purposes, underwear act as a bedika, and again, maybe even the Chavos Das could agree, but certainly the placing the Sidre Tara should agree. However, here too, Rav Moshe is machmir. First of all, Rav Moshe rejects the placey and says that an immediate bedika doesn't help. And then he says, moreover, gam be, this is sif yud, sif katan yud in those chuvos, gam be levusha mechnasayim fafilu mehudakim legufa uvad katekef lo matza alayu klum nami ein tam latara diyesh lochosh shema yatza rak ma'atam v'nis kaneach al besara sham. It got dispersed. Right, if there's really a little drop of blood, it's possible that it didn't show up. Oh, nafal be'ofen rachok, some far-fetched situation. Now, why is he saying that? So, because he's saying that there has to have been something. In other words, Moshe assumes that the hargashos are not false. So if it's hargasha psichas pia makor, and remember, Rav Moshe held that meant psichas pia makor lehotzi davar, so something must have happened. And even zivas davar lach, we saw Rav Moshe assumes that there's no false sensations. Part of perhaps the chiddush of hargasha is that the Torah assumes that she's credible with respect to these sensations, and these sensations reflect reality, and there's no such thing as a hargasha with actually nothing that happened, whether it's Zivas Davar Lach or Psichas Pia Makor Lahotzi Dam. And that being the case, so then he holds underwear would not be effective. Okay, so what do we say Halach L'maisa? So we'll ask the question a little differently. Let's imagine you're teaching a chasan. So when you teach chasanim, you don't want to overload them with too much information. So you could say that there's this concept of hargasha, but the question is, do you tell them, oh, we don't have hargashos anymore, it's not relevant anymore, or do you start teaching them about, or this is equally true for teaching kalas, you teach them about psichas pia makor, and zivas davar lach, and this and that, and zdaze vareha. So Rabbi Willig thinks you don't have to. You could tell them, tell her or him. There's no such thing as hargashus anymore. Or at the very least, it's a milsa de lo shchicha. It's so rare that you need not teach it in chassan classes or kala classes. Rabbi Neuberger told me, I think, that every so often, this is extremely rare. Rabbi Neuberger gets a lot of questions, but every so often, women do describe experiencing psichas piyam akor. So I was wondering, is it physiologically possible to have either the hargash of a psichas piyam akor? Now, what about tzivas avalach? Why is Rabbi Willig not afraid of that? Right, that does happen all the time. Willig says, well, we don't accept the Noda Behuda, we accept the Chavos Das, maybe even Noda Behuda would agree. In other words, it's only a Zivas Davar Lach B'Makor that we would accept. And that, too, is extremely unlikely. As he put it, there's no nerve endings over there. So we asked Dr. Chudnov. Hopefully, a couple times over the course of the year, we'll have a chance to hear from medical experts, including Dr. Scott Chudnov, who spoke to Rabbi Willig Shear last year, and I'm hoping, but I think it doesn't make sense to do it just yet, to have him talk to us. But I asked him whether or not you can, in his perspective, is it physiologically possible to have a hargasha, right? So he said it's possible, but very unlikely. It's conceivably possible, but very unlikely. As a general rule, this is what he wrote, it was in an email, a woman would not perceive the opening of the cervical os. While the area of the internal os is very nerve dense, the amount of dilation is minimal and well below the threshold that anyone would likely perceive. Now, I was very happy with that answer, because now you don't have to say like a hard nishtanu tzvayim. In other words, there are nerves there, and you could feel it. It just, it's very unlikely, at least bizman hazeh, but that, you know, that possibility for that sensitivity did exist at a different time is not crazy. Additionally, as the dilation would be physiologic, it would occur slowly and would not be felt. However, if a woman passes a large clot, then it might be possible for her to feel it, which also makes sense, because women have told me when they're passing clots and things that they experience a psichas piyam akor. That's the only time I've ever heard women tell me they had a psichas hargasha of a psichas piyam akor. It's when they pass clots for whatever reason, either post-pregnancy or other issues and the like. So that's what he's saying. There actually are nerves there, and you could feel it. He just thinks that it's so small, the dilation needed to menstruate, and so slow, that's not something you'd probably normally notice. In regards to liquid passage, in other words, is the Chavos Das's hargasha possible? Again, she's unlikely to feel liquid flowing from the cervix. However, right, then he pointed out that according to Dr. Levy, so then you could have a hargasha psichas piyam makor from the makor. Okay, anyway, so that being the case, that's why Rabbi Willig thinks that you don't have to basically be concerned about this at all. If a woman says, I had a hargashas psichas piyam akor, so then obviously you would have to treat that as a ri'ya, not a kasem. But because it's so much a milsa de lo shchicha in terms of educating chasanim and kalas, or for that matter, asking the question. If you ask many poskim, you say to them, I saw kasem, they'll ask you, did you have a hargasha? So Rabbi Willig does not ask that question. And again, the reason is because it's such a milsa de lo shchicha that you need not be concerned that it happened. As I mentioned before, that's why Rabbi Willig would think that there's no need to do, let's say, those bedikos of the Chachmas Adam and the like for Zivas Davar Lachs, because those aren't Zivas Davar Lachs that one would have to be concerned about. And therefore, kalas shouldn't be told to do the bedika of the Chachmas Adam. And generally speaking, as we'll see as we go throughout the year, Rabbi Willig, as well as other poskim around here, are very hesitant to encourage bedikos that aren't halachically mandated, since they could cause problems, especially because this is something that, again, the kala teachers recommend new kalas to do, right? And new kalas don't really know what they're doing yet, and it's likely to cause irritation or wounds or the like, and then you have bigger problems to deal with. And therefore, it doesn't recommend doing these bedikos of the Chachmas Adam. But among other poskim, as I said, Rav Moshe says it's not enough to just do three bedikos. Chachmas Adam says it's fine. Many poskim follow the Chachmas Adam, like the Shir HaShevet Alevi and others quoted by Rabbi Forst, and Rav Elyashiv and the like. Okay. Good. There's more to say on this Sif, but I think we should move on to Sif base. Yes?
The Shevet Alevi here goes a little further than when you put it.
Yeah?
He says that even if she says she has an Akasha, the posting should quiet.
Right.
If she knows what she's talking about, because usually they know they'll be talking about.
Right.
And he says that if she's really obsessive about it,
also, you should
make go, and don't tell her why you didn't make go.
Right. Yes. I thought that was a very, you get, have good hadrach also on how to fast him. It's a very good point that Shevet Alevi brings up, that you have to be very careful. This comes up most commonly in issues relating to tefillah and chafifa and chatzitos and the like, but also in terms of seeing things and feeling things and the like. Whether it's OCD or not, sometimes women are a little too worried about things, and that has to be taken into account when answering their questions. Okay, Siv Beis. So the Gemara Nida Daf Hey says that Nashim Shamru Chachamim, this is Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Dayan Shaitan, Kisman Kriyasan, Chutz Mitinokas, Shaligiyaz Man Aliros, Afilu Sadinin Shalah, Meluchlachan Bedam Ein Choshishin La. So if you have a tinokas, the Gemara explains what a tinokas is. You have a tinokas, someone who's not yet regularly menstruating, and she's young. So even if she has a kesem, even if her sheets are full of blood, she's muteres. As opposed to other women who we don't expect them to have a ri'ah, like a postmenopausal woman, so they don't necessarily have tumah lamafreya. We say dayan shaitan, but we do have to be choshish for the ksamim. For the tinokas, we don't have to be choshish for her ksamim. Now, that's not because she can't become a nida. Again, it won't be so relevant nowadays, because usually ketanos aren't married. But it's not because a ketana can't become a nida. She could, but we're not choshish for her ksamim. Why not? So Rashi explains. The reason is, Vafilu ein la bamel litlos, de beshuk shal tabachim lo avra, ikal meimar, avra v'lava daita, de ha begufa ein litlos, kol ikar, de ksamen de rabana ninu, v'chigaz rabana b'gizmana, de dam matzui ba, avol b'ha lo gazer, hol v'ein b'damim. So, on the one hand, Rashi says, lo gazu, meaning say they weren't misaking samim, because it's unlikely. But still Rashi implies that there needs to be some other possibility. So he says, Ikalamemar Avra Velavadaita, meaning to say Avra Bishuk Shal Tabachim Velavadaita. So for a usual woman, we're going to talk more about why this is, but for an adult woman, so Avra Bishuk Shal Tabachim is a valid Tliya, but we don't say Avra Velavadaita, that, oh, Shitaka was in the butcher shop, but she forgot. Let's assume now that's because it's unlikely. That's the way the Rashba explains. We don't say Safik Drabanan, she could be Mako, because it's very unlikely that you would have been in a Shushal Tabachim and not noticed or have forgotten. But for this Tinokas, since the alternative is also extremely unlikely, so we're Mako because of Avir Velavadaita. The Mashmos, though, is from Rashi that if it was Vadei Bamigufa, we would be Machmir on her Ksamim. However, the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkat and Ches, is medayik from the Shach, who's mashma that even if it's Vadai Migufa, as long as it's Shelo Behargasha, she's Muteres. Why? Because Lo Gazu B'Ktana. So, if Lo Gazu, we revert to the Din Deraisa, and Dam even Damina Makor, below Hargasha, is Torah. So first of all, here, we see another reflection in Psak of the view that we accept, the view of Tosos, the Ramban, and others, that Damina Makor v'li Hargasha is not a surah midaraisa. Now, the Chavos Das over here disagrees with the Shach, and he thinks that, no, based, or like Rashi, the only time we could be Mekel is if there's some type of far-fetched possibility that this was Bamei Alma. But if there's no possibility whatsoever that it was Bamei Alma, so then we would have to be Machmir even for a Tinokas, and that could certainly exist. Now, this perhaps might relate to the general Machlokas Rishonim. We talked about last time how to read Rashi, but it could be that this is Rashi Lashitaso, that Dam Mina Makor B'li Hargasha is Asuma Deraisa, not like Tosfos. So this might relate to the Machlokas Rishonim, and this question also might relate to that Machlokas Achronim that we saw at the beginning of Sifun Kuf Pei Gimel between the Torah Sashlamim and the Gilead Marsha, about what's the din when you have something that's Vadei Migufa, but in that case it's Pachos Mikagris B'li Hargasha. How do you understand the nature of Ksamim? Right? So that might be slightly different, because it's talking about Pachos Mikagris. Talk about in a moment whether it's the same or not. But if we assume for the moment that the basic, right, in other words, my question is the Heter of Pachos Mikagris, is it a Tlia or is it a Pachos Mikashir, and therefore Lo Tiknu? But that question over there, when you have Dam that's Vade Migufa, but Pachos Mikagris, what's the din? Because it was below Argasha, is a similar type of machloka. So these types of issues, this is, I think, another possible manifestation of that same debate. Now, just an interesting Derech Agav point. So the Shach over there mentions another interesting Ha'ara about looking at Minhag. Right? So the Bach writes that the Minhag is to be Machmir for Ksamim of Tinokos. A lot of times when we talk about Psak, people say things like, the minhag is to... So sometimes they tell me the minhag is to be machmir, but it's, how could you have a minhag for something like this? It never happens. So that's exactly what the Shach says to the Bach over here. Da'davar yadua, da'davar she'enu matzui, en shayach bo minhag. U'kamosh kasvar rambam v'kesef mishnah. They actually, at least in the older Shulchan Aruchs, there's a misprint in terms of the tzion. The Rambam is in Perk Yud Aleph of Hilchos Shechita Lacha Yud Gimel, where the Rambam says exactly that. Misha Shachat is a behema, the kar sabetan, the kodim sheyivdok a sareya bakalev oakam anatal sareya. So then we could be mekel shein machzik in iser el reizu b'chaskas hatarat shivada b'man nitrafok shem shein choshin lekruam moach shidur kozvah lo nech shafat uveze ein minhag. So we don't have to be worried about a minhag over here. Why? Shadaver she'eno matzui, ein bo minhag. This is a very unlikely situation. It's not shayach minhag. And that's what the Shach invokes over here. He says that, you know, if there was a minhag for Tinokas, so maybe even if I thought it was wrong, I would have to be moda. But doesn't what the Bach says doesn't make any sense. You couldn't have a minhag about something like this. Okay. Sifhei. So Sifhei is about the size of a gris. So first let's talk about a more technical question, then we're going to talk about the more fundamental and Lundisha question about the nature of the heter for gris. So the technical question is how big is a gris, such that we say a kesem that's less than a gris is okay. So the Shulchan Aruch actually gives us two shiurim. One is 9 lentils, and the second is 35 hairs. Part of the question is, hairs where? Hairs on the arm? Hairs on the head? Are hairs on the head closer? The poskim discussed this question. There's also a question. Eliran Levinson, I think, tried to measure both and compare lentils to hairs and found that they were about the same size. But other people found that they're quite different in terms of the size. In other words, the two shiurim of the Shulchan Aruch do not yield similar results. And if so, maybe we should be able to follow the more lenient view, because Ksamim Shomen L'Hakel. So Shmuel Kamenetsky is reported as saying that since they're two shiurim, you could follow the lenient shiur, Ksamim Shomen L'Hakel, and therefore you could follow hairs, which is much bigger, and he thought that was a basis for a more lenient size of a gris.
I mean,
now, yeah, sorry. Now, the I'll tell you a story. So nowadays, everybody around here, talking about other shiurim, use the penny for a size. Based off of the meal stuck, this is where emotion is and the like. We'll mention other shiurim in a minute. But when I was doing shimush with Rabbi Neuberger, so after the year, we wanted to give him a present as a token of our appreciation. So somebody went to the there's like a Jewish history museum in Borough Park, like Living Torah Museum. Okay, I was never there, but anyway, one of the guys went. So in the gift shop, they have all sorts of interesting things. So apparently the Sforno writes that there was a type of coin that he used to use for checking Ksamim. In other words, it's not like a new thing that we started using coins. It's very helpful to have something with which you could measure that's common. So he describes a certain Roman coin from 500 years ago that the Sforno used. So you could buy it at the gift shop there for like $95. An actual coin, not the Sforno's coin, but so we got that for Rav Neuberger. So it's actually a little smaller than a penny. It's more closer to the size of a dime. Maybe it got beaten up. It was over the years. So what are the different shiurim? So the Rambam again says it's 9 lentils, 3x3 lentils. And the Me'ilt Staka tried doing the measurements, and he defines a gris as about 20 millimeters, which is about the area of a nickel, or maybe around 19 millimeters. The Chazon Ish understood that the Me'ilt Staka said 18 millimeters. Rav Moshe, as I mentioned, says a penny. Rabbi Simon quotes Rabbi Abadi as saying more of a nickel. This is whole cheshbon that Rav Moshe meant a nickel. He meant that if you draw a square around a penny, it's the same size as a nickel. Now, Rabbi Simon has a chap that he likes to say that I saw it subsequently in a sefer. I forgot which sefer, but he says that there are two printings of the Me'ilt Staka. There is the 1756 printing and the 1835 printing. And in the Me'ilt Staka, there's actually a diagram. And in the 1835 printing, it's a funny thing, but there's a hay. It says, a gris is the size of this hay. So the problem is that in the later printing, the hay is a little bit smaller. So he thinks that that the first printing is presumably more accurate, the 1756 printing. And in that case, the hay is bigger than a penny. In the 1835 printing, it would come out to be the size of a penny. A penny is 19.05 millimeters. A nickel is 21.21 millimeters. So Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Abadi, thinks that the 1756 printing, which is much closer to the size of a nickel, is what the Me'ilt Staka actually said, and that those who claim that the Me'ilt Staka meant the size of a penny is because they were working off of a bad printing of the Me'ilt Staka. Anyway, there are different tshuvos. There's the Mishkan of Yaakov says 20 millimeters. As I said, Stipler says something like 18 millimeters. The Mishmer Satar, I was actually very surprised to see this. The Mishmer Satar, which is an excellent sefer in terms of if you're looking for like a contemporary Hebrew sefer, says that Poskim and Eretz Yisrael assume 20.87 millimeters, which is almost the size of a nickel. In America, I think most poskim, Rabbi Simon notwithstanding, assume the size of a penny. Rav Moshe says, Kain penny, that's what Rabbi Willig assumes. though the Nitte Gavriel quotes Rav Yonasan Steif, who says Bishas al Chak, you could be makel up to the size of a quarter. That's 20. It's big. Yeah, 24.5 millimeters. Meiser Rabbi Willig holds like Rav Moshe, like a penny. Now you could actually ask an interesting question here, which is, what's a gris? Right, it's a pool, right? It's a broken pool. So what is it, a specific bean we're talking about, or a generic bean? So if you look at the Ramban, it sounds like he's saying any bean you could find, that is okay. And that sounds like the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, that you could find any bean. So if you find a bigger gris, which sounds like he might be saying you could find any bean. Some beans are quite large. Quite large. So then you could be mako. Now the problem with saying that is that the halacha is, we'll talk about this a little later, but we're not tola on a tormos. Now, according to Jastrow and other sources that I could find, a tormos is a lupine bean. Lupine beans are beans that are quite large, but they also vary. They're huge. Now, if you can't, and it's pretty clear that the tormos are what we call lupine beans. Like, you know, the Gemara talks about how you cook them a whole bunch of times and they're very bitter and then they get soft. So that's true with lupine beans, according to Wikipedia at least. So we're not tola on a pish pesh min astam. We're not tola on a tormos, because that's not so matzoi. So I don't know how you could say any bean works, unless a lupine bean, even though it's called a bean, isn't a bean. It's not a pool. So I'm a little unclear about what the Chacham Tzvi actually meant there. Again, I assume he's assuming that a tormos isn't a bean. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. But if we follow that school of thought, the Ramban, Chacham Tzvi, and the like, then we might not even be speaking about something specific. And like, if you get lucky and you find that huge bean, that huge tormos, that, you know, I don't know what genetic engineering, how would that affect this? But then you could like be a really makel posik. All right. It's also a question. It says if you have one. So I don't know what. No, or it could not be. It could be the pshat is that they were mako anything that's a gris. So they weren't referring to a specific thing. That's a general question with respect to shiurim, agav, right? The gaonim shita about why Chazal gave shiurim and kezayis and the like. But certainly over here, even if you think that a kezayis is a specific amount, right? Specific amount. And irrelevant of how big olives are and small olives are and the like. But it could be in this case the gris, the takana was, that's what the Ramban implies. That now maybe they made that so for simplicity's sake, and maybe it relates to ksamim shovim lahakel and the like. But the halacha is if you could find a bigger gris, then you could be makel. That's what the Ramban says. You could say it happens to be. Okay, that's fine. But then, if you, why would the Ramban say if you find a big gris, you could be mako? That's like fine.
Maybe Chazal had this bean. That's what he refers to.
No, because the Gemara says
the pashta says kach tiknu. I mean, it could be that there's a magical association with the size. You know, some correlation. The bigger the grisin in a certain country, the bigger their bugs are. I don't know. I think the pashtus is that they were misakein and ksamim shavim lahakel. They were sakein that you could be tol on a gris. So any gris you could find, you could be tol a kach tiknu. In other words, wasn't a specific size that they were misakein. Okay. Now for the feature presentation. So what is... there's a famous chakira that everybody says, and we'll see how this... we'll see... 9 or 10 or 12, depending on how much time we have, instantiations of this chakira. But what is the pshat in gris? Is it the pshat that it's a shear, or is it a tliya? I mean, to say they weren't misaking anything. They were that when they were misaking samim, it's a dindarabanan, they're only misaking it up to the size of a gris, the ode, actually. But if it's a gris, it's okay. Or is it pshat that, no, it's a tliya b'macholas. If you look at the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch or the Lashon of the Tur, it's a bit unclear. On the one hand, it says this lashon of lo gazru, which might imply that it's a shear, but on the other hand, it also has the lashon of anutolin, which implies it's a tzliya. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a number of discussions in the poskim, machlokos, in the poskim about issues, and we'll see that it seems that these debates do hinge on this topic. Some of them in a way that's clear and muchrach, other times perhaps a little less clear. But we'll start with what we actually referred to earlier, which is the discussion, the diuk of the placi at the beginning of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, which we already saw. So the question over there is, what is the halacha if we know that this is dam migufa, it's not dam macholes, but it is smaller than a gris? So the placi is machmir in that case, and presumably the reason is because it's a tliya. And here you have no tliya because you know it's migufa, so therefore she would be a sura. Now, the place doesn't say that this is an iser deraisa. The place is explicit. He agrees it's a takan. He's not saying anytime it's, you know, vade migufa, so then, like the sheet of the Rambam, you know, or the Rashba, that we're choshesh that this is behargasha and she's tamei. No. He's saying that this is a takana derabanan. And he agrees that da migufa bli hargasha is a takana derabanan. But if it's less than a gris, but vade migufa, it's a sura. Now, this gets back to the question that we were talking about last time. Does this indicate that there were two takanos? Right? The easiest way to explain the place would be to say that he assumes that there were two takanos, as we discussed last time. This also, of course, relates to the two drashos, right? One drasha of saying you need hargasha as a tanai, and a second being tola misafik. One way or the other, we also saw at the beginning of the Kuf Pei Gimel that the Gilead Marsha and Shlomo Eger and other achronim disagree with the diuk of the placi. So how do we paskin? How do we paskin in the event that you have pachos mikigris, but is vadi migufa? And this question could come up, right? We talked about it, for example, in the discussion of a doctor who finds blood in her vaginal canal. It's definitely migufa. So as we talked about then, that might be a slightly different issue as well, in terms of the suffic argasha issue, but leaving that aside, assuming there's no suffic argasha, right? But let's say it's less than a gris. So we know it's migufa. We know it's vade migufa. So out of the poskin paskin. The Shevet HaLevi in Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yotes, in the Makoros that I sent you, writes the following. Kesem hu vadei derabanan v'kil b'shiro u'metzias b'dika hu safek deoraisa v'chamer b'shiro. The kinuach mi bachutz. What if you have a kinuach? Right? It's not a bedika because it's external. It's not internal. But at the same, so there's no sefik argasha. But at the same time, it's vadi migufa. So he writes kinuach mi bachutz. Mitzarachad chamer b'shiro. De taima bekol shiku. But it's only the rabbanan for sure. So he's accepting the position of the machmirim of the placi that any time it's vade migufa, then even if it's pachlus mikagris, we are machmir. At the same time, Rav Moshe, we're going to go through a little bit of this tshuva more carefully in a moment, but he is meiko, and he brings rayos, that shir gris is a shir. It's not a tliya. And what's fascinating is he compares it to tzivonim. The Mil Tzedakah does a similar thing. Now, you didn't have to compare it to tzivonim. Right, you could have said, no, you're right. Tzivonim were mekel, even though there's no taliyah, because lo tiknu. We'll talk about why when we get there shortly. But they weren't misakin on tzivonim. But when it's levanim, they were misakin. So Moshe thinks that just like we have cases that they weren't misakin, even though there's no taliyah, like in Mekabel Tuma or tzivonim or the like, huadin, pachos mekegris. He makes that equation. He takes it for granted. Again, as does the Mil Tzedakah. You don't have to make that assumption, but he does. So therefore, you don't need a tzliya. Anytime it's pachlos mikagris, we're meiko. And as I said, that's the view of other achronim as well, and that's the view of Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig is meiko against the placi, that anytime we treat it as a shir, and therefore, even if it's vade migufa, even if there's no tzliya, we could be meiko. Yes?
Is it a raya that we still are meiko?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to get there. That's coming up. This is number one. Number two. I'm not doing that, not answering your question now because it's a machlokas, whether that's a simon or not. We'll get there. Okay. The Pischei Tshuva, Sifkatan Tazayin, writes the following with respect to Tipin Harbe. Ayin Binas Adam, Linyan Kesem Nimsa Al Beis Yad, Shel Nashim, Shel Al Makom HaKamatim. Fascinating question, right? Let's say you find a kesem on your sleeve, so that's a problem, right? Why? Because that's magia keneged beis hatarfa. The rule for ksamim on clothing is any time blood could have gotten here directly from oso makom, then it's a problem. So the end of your sleeve, for example, could reach there. Now, so let's say, like over here on my sleeve, so there's a fold, right, or a pleat, or something like that. So let's say I found a kesem over here. It's bigger than a gris, but when I unfold my pleat, so actually, it's now divided in two, each one is less than a gris. Now, it's clear what this is. This is definitely not a dam macholas. It's absolutely clear, when you look at it, that this came all at once from one place, and it's bigger than a gris. So there's absolutely no tliya. But lamaisa, when you spread out your shirt, it's clearly two ksamim, or let's say over here, right? Half on here and half on here. So when I separate them, and I separate my sleeve, so then it's two. So what would you say? So what does the Chachmas Adam say? Pashut de'eno mitzdarev, ki kol kemet omed la'atzmo, v'afilu im tfurim, tzarech iyon, so at least if they're not tefurim, he would make them. So again, l'chora, that's an indication that this is a shear and not a tliya. If we required some type of tliya, so then it's very hard to imagine this psak would be correct. So number three is the me'il tzedaka. I had you guys look at the me'il tzedaka because he really goes through this barichas. Yes. So do you remember who argues explicitly?
Nachman Shulchan says the whole of it's mistarif, and the Shir Shir Levi, I think, says that Kolzman, that it's near Kedam.
Okay, so there are Shevet Alevi is Lashitaso. We have to look out for Archa Shulchan's. Okay, great. Okay, so the Miotstaka. So there's a couple of issues dealt with in the Miotstaka that are relevant to this question. One of them is black, and some other issues dealt with in the Me'il Tzedakah, like a kesem that's half red. So we'll read through a little bit of his tzedakah. Just to introduce, right? Black is going to be an issue. Why? Because apparently, though this is also debated, but at least the Me'il Tzedakah, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Sidrei Tara, take for granted that bed bugs or whatever macholos are, don't produce black stains. So we know black is one of the Maros Tomeos. So what happens if you see a black stain? Again, no tli over here. It's definitely not from the Macholas, but it's Pachos Mikashir, assuming it's less than a gris. So what's it did? So I'm going to sort of pick and choose some key lines from this Me'il Tzedakah. Asher sha'alti b'kesem lavan sheyesh b'chut adom b'ktsosav vein b'kamus ha'chut levad kashir kesem shu gris the ode im tolin beoso bedam kina shenis ariv im haloven hahu kevan shein bo shir kasem onema achar ki haloven vade migufa shein kan makom litlos bo gam adam yimena. So here you have a kasem that's two different colors, white or beige or whatever, and red. Now the white part is vade migufa. Right? There are no bed bugs that produce white stains. And maybe it's bigger than a gris and the like. And the appearance here is one single stain. In other words, it looks like this stain came from a single source. It's not like there's a red spot and a white spot next to each other. But rather, we have a single stain. And we know that the white is migufa. So that would indicate that the red is also migufa, except the red is pachos mikagris. So again, this seems to be another nafkamina of the same question. We don't have a tliya, where it's quite obvious that this dam was migufa, because the white stuff is migufa, and the white stuff and the red stuff came from the same place, but it's pachlus mekashir in the sense that there's not enough red to be machmir, not less than a gris. So he writes that lama mekilim bekasem shu pachlus mekagris litloso bedam acholas avshu samach v'nira emakasem lava and mashen ke mekasem gadol mekagris afal pishi yesh makom litloso bechatatim. So here he's talking about a very important discussion, the Tshuva Sarama, right? I don't want to get too much into this Rama like last time because it's at the end of the Siman in the Taz. But the Rama deals with a case similar to this. And he argues, though this isn't so clear, that the Rama would be Mega. The Rama over there is Mechalik between a Tliya B'maka, in which case if there's white mixed in, you have to be machmir, and a tliya b'macholas, where you could be meko. Now, you could have said that's because the macholas is more matzu, or be tliya, it's a shear. Because if we are machmir for pachs megigris, ein lecha isha she te mutaris labayla. And that's why he brought the tumas adeshen in. But the Mi'il Tzedakah argues that even though the Rama sounds like he's saying that you need a tliya and less than a gris could be a problem, but he argues that that Tshuva Rama is not relevant to his discussion because here it came from one place as opposed to the case of the Rama where it could have come from two places. And in the end he partially disagrees. He doesn't like the Raya of the Rama, but he tries to argue that even the Rama could be Makel over here. Right, this is very important because if the Rama is Machmir, he's a heavy hitter. So the Mi'il Tzedakah tries to argue the Rama would be Makel in this case. Mishum dekol shu pachlus mekagris bevadei lo gazri rabbanan klal balkiyoti bezeh lo haisig zeh rasam af agav devadei migufa ka'asi kol she'enu al yidei bedika ala metzias kasem ukemosh lo gazri al aksamim debeged savua ukiyote bo lahachli pshitali deba'inan kegris al kolpanim. So this is the most explicit formulation we've seen so far for the position of shear, right? Af agav devade migufa, he writes, if it's pachus mikashir lo gazu, he makes the comparison to tzivonim. Like the Tarsa Shlamim in the beginning of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. He brings a raya from the tour. We noted that the tour l'chora isn't such a strong raya because he says both. Oh. So then he says, "Val pizeh nirali dafilu bekasem shehu mukaf beogel utmuna nifla o shenira be'ein shakol his pashtus achad yesh lahakel kol she'en ha'odem shebo kegris v'al tetame af shenira shakol kasem achad v'us pashtus alavan." So this confused me a lot, because he said, after just telling us clearly, unequivocally, that it's a shear, he just says, and therefore, the reason why I'm willing to be makel over here is because it's possible that it came from a macholas. Why? Because maybe the macholas punked landed on this fresh, wet, white spot, and the blood of the macholas got mixed in, and then it was mispashate, and therefore it's possible that this is dam macholas. So, why in the world did he just say that? Didn't he just get off telling us that it's a shear? And if it's vadai pachos mikagris, she is muteris. So this confused me a lot. So I'm not sure. First I thought maybe he's saying, yeah, it's a shear, but why would Chazal have made a shear in a case where it's clearly false? And he's saying, no, they were misaking a shear because it's always possible, even outside a rachok, that it could be from a macholas. In other words, there's no such thing as 100% certainty. But the problem with saying that is what he said before, which is he said before that she's mutares, afal gav devade migufa kasi, right? Even though it's vadai. So what's he doing over here? So I think you have to say that what he said before, that she's mutares, even though it's vade migufa, is a little bit lav dafka. And what he means to say is, even though it's almost vadai that it's migufa, if there's some type of possibility outside harachok that it's mi bachutz, it's a macholas, then she'll be mutares. And it happens to be that it's always going to be a tzad rachok that it's from a macholas. So memela, it's always going to be mutares. Right? In other words, he's having his cake and eating it. It is effectively a shir, but it's only a shir because there's always a possibility outside a rachok that it could be okay. And then he goes back and he says, "Va'al tetameh shenechale kadaver b'mikra chokah kazeh." You know, we're considering this very far-fetched possibility. To call shuchshash dam macholas talinan bayoser rachok lios mishum dekolas adinim v'kol achalukim meleim ksam. He says, "Why is it that we're choshish for this very far-fetched situation? Because if we weren't, then in lecha isha shetahora lebala." Ah, so then he continues with another question. Vod Raya, he talks about, we'll leave that. He says, Vod Raya, shelo gazu klal, al admimus katan mikagris, shemakif halav. And another reason we make on this case, right, but here again, he says, lo gazu klal, is because if we are machmir in this case, then lo yimalate right? How do I know to be makel in this case where, again, remember the stain is partially white, partially red. It looks like it came from one place, but we know it's migufa because of the whiteness. So, I'll tell you why it has to be mutter. Why is it mutter? Because if it was usser, some of the poskim must have said so. Okay? Chavos Das disagrees with this. Mil tzedakah. He says, Inachanami! I said it, and I'm a posek. and then the Mi'al Tzedakah brings in the question of black, which is what we said before. He writes, "V'chein shamati min ha'chaverim, da'i min ha'roi l'tamei kasem shachor, shekatan mikagris," and we're mekel. Why? Because of what we said, that it's a shir, not a tliya. The problem is that the rivet is machmir. The Ravid says that a kesem shachor pachos mikagris is mekel. So you can't say, we're going to be mekel because shum echad min haposkim lo hechmiru, because the Ravid was mekel. But he still says, but look, nobody quoted the Ravid. Right? The Rishonah, the Taka, the poskim had the Ravid, and nobody quotes this Ravid until the Sidrei Tara. So you see that the Ravid was rejected. Maybe it's even a better Ravid. They had the Ravid and they still ignored it. But then, again, he says some lashon of, you know, he's going to be machmir. So it's very unclear from this tshuva what exactly he holds. Because he unequivocally, in numerous places, says it's a shir. And then he keeps on being mekel because al tzad harachok, it could be me'alma. However, there's another tshuva of the Mi'al Tzedakah. This one is Simen Chav Zayin, where he quite clearly holds it is a shir. And here it sounds like he's willing to be makel even if there's no possibility. Listen to this lashon. V'hinei niskashesi b'shirim, kiyala l'shir gadol yoser mimash efshar. This is where he's trying to figure out what a gris is, the one we referred to before. Dam nina mispashet l'dayti, yefshar shimash efshar, fine. Vadome li, sorry, va'im kol zeh lo nishtanu gam, Bizman hazeh hashiurim kiloi segzei rasam elashir hazeh. Says we could be makel nowadays. Our bed bugs don't produce such big stains. Yeah, but it's a shir. V'domeli mi beget savua shelo gazu al aksamim v'domel karka olam. Here again, he compares it to karka olam to tzavonim, and he clearly says it's a shir, and it doesn't matter that it's migufa, simply lo gazru. So b'kitzer, in the end of the day, I think, really the meal tzedakah does hold its ashir. And maybe what he said before, that you need a tzli al tzad arachok, is explaining why Chazal were misakin ashir, because l'maisa, you'll almost always have, or will always have, a tzli al tzad arachok. So what are the two nafkaminas that the meal tzedakah says for his vart that it's ashir? I guess three. One is we could be makel nowadays, even though we don't have macholos that are this big. Number two, the situation of a kesem that's half white, half red. Red is pachus mikashir. And finally, number three is shachur. Okay. And he at least partially disagrees with the Rama about that case. So now we have a bunch of additional nafkaminas. Right? Shachur, the half stain, and the like. But we give it Eger on Sifhei, has another nafkamina. Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the halacha if it's less than a gris, but it's very thick, caked on red, but it's less than a gris, but it's pretty clear from its thickness that if this were spread out, it would be bigger than a gris. In other words, on this kesem, there's definitely more blood that can fit inside of a macholas. So seemingly, this would be another nafkamina of our shayla. So Rabbi Yehuda writes, v'madam nitzror ve'av b'makom echad v'mayinu miradadim hadek hayaboshir gris. See, he's meko. Ein tzach l'shar ela b'mash l'faneinu. But maybe you should be machmir if it looks bigger than a gris. It's not so sure. But l'chora, it's tali in nishayla as well. Tali in nishayla as well. If you need a taliyah, you don't have a taliyah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Doesn't just the Teshuva himself bring a suffix like that, meaning that he says, we're not became Bashir Gris because what thickness of them was I talking about when they said that?
Yeah.
So then, like, it's not.
So what do you see from there?
You would see that it's a shear, but, like, it's not. Meaning he's talking about an amount of blood as opposed to an area of space. No.
You know, we're out of time. So we'll pick up with your Hara next time. And a couple of additional other nafkaminas that come out from this.